It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Mr. Nathaniel Pringle, Assistant Dean of Men at BJU. The title of his message is, What is Your Passion? The text is from Philippians chapter 1, verse 21.
Please open your Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 1. I'm always a little bit nervous when I preach. But 3 years ago today, I was a lot more nervous because I was getting ready to get married. So this is a very happy day for me and my wife, our anniversary, and I love being married. It's great. So if any of you are thinking about it, it's a good thing. You have my full-hearted approval to go forward with it. But speaking of anniversaries, there's a very memorable anniversary that's not mine. It was actually my parents', and it took place for their, I believe it was their 15th anniversary, and it was very unusual. We were actually on our way back from Africa after having been there for 2 years, and we were in London. And for all you ladies out there, I'm sure your imagination, London, anniversary, very nice. My mom was thinking the same thing. However, there were, at the time, four of us children as well, without a babysitter in a foreign country. And we had also been deprived for 2 years of that famous restaurant, McDonald's. So we wanted one thing and one thing only, and that was McDonald's, whether it was a Happy Meal or Big Mac, whatever. So the anniversary meal was McDonald's, and we loved it. But my mom didn't. It was a very memorable anniversary. I wondered, how many of you all would say with the slogan of McDonald's, I'm loving it? Anybody here like McDonald's? Or are you just, okay, good, we have a few. How many of you would say, I loathe it? Okay. Well, you know, there was actually, when we were in Africa, we would sing a little song in Sunday school. And it would go something, you know, heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to go there and see my Savior. Well, being 10, 11, 12, and not living a very sanctified life, I would be in the back with my friends, and we would be singing, McDonald's is a wonderful place filled with burgers and shakes. I want to go there and stuff my face because McDonald's is a wonderful place. I want to go there. So on that 15th anniversary of my parents, we went there. And then when we got back to the States, we kept going there and kept going there until I loathe it now. Can't stand it. So what does that have to do with Philippians 1? Well, Paul makes a statement that you all know in verse 21, where he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And by that statement, he's reflecting the desire of his heart, the passion of his life is to serve Christ. And his desire, his mission to serve Christ creates an anticipation for him to see Christ. And that is his heart. Now, I'm assuming most of us, if not everyone here, has a desire to see Christ, to be in heaven. But unfortunately, a lot of times, though we might sing, heaven is a wonderful place, and when we're confronted with the joys of heaven as described in the Word of God, think, oh man, I can't wait to get there. Our lives many times are characterized instead by a desire to stuff our face with burgers and shakes. And I use that as an analogy to really anything in the world that we would desire, whether it's an activity, a person, a place that we want to be, anything that would replace an ultimate desire and passion to serve Jesus Christ. So I ask you today, what is your passion? Is it to be in heaven or is it to go to McDonald's? What do you desire more than anything right now? Are you living to serve Christ, or are you living to eat burgers and shakes? Can you say with Paul, "For me to live is Christ"? That is true, as much as lieth within me. And because of that, I know to die is gain. And in a sanctified sense, not in a morbid sense, I am anticipating seeing Christ above all things. Well, that is Paul's passion. And I want us to kind of look through several different passages of Scripture that will be instructive to how we can make sure that our passion is the same. And maybe where we need to make some corrections or adjustments from a worldly focus that desires temporal things above Christ to a focus that is on Christ, that is on living for Christ and on serving Christ. So we're going to look at some different passages and then come back very briefly at the end to Philippians 2. So let me raise the question, how do you get to the point of saying, "For me," we'll start with this, "to live is Christ"? Well, if you will, turn with me to Psalm 16. For you men that are in the residence hall, this will be a bit repetitive from what we went over very briefly on Monday night in our orientation. But there are several statements in this psalm that reflect a posture toward life and toward Christ that would lead anyone to a life of service for Christ, to that being the passion. So attaining an anticipation of heaven involves making a conscious choice to really set your affection on Christ. Psalm 16. I'm just going to read several statements scattered throughout the psalm. Verse 1, it's a petition. "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." In verse 8, and here's really the crux of the matter, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." The psalmist is saying there has been a conscious choice on my part to set the Lord before me. Another way that Paul says it in Colossians 3 is to set your affections on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote a wonderful work. It's very devotional and highly recommended if you're looking for something to read through with your devotions. It's entitled "The Godly Man's Picture, Drawn with a Scripture Pencil." And he goes through various characteristics of what a godly man should look like. And one of them is that a godly man has a heavenly mindset. He is a heavenly man. And regarding the idea of making a conscious choice, he makes this statement under the heading, "A godly man is heavenly in his election," or in his choices. He says, "A godly person chooses Christ and grace before the most illustrious things under the sun. What a man is, that is his choice. And this choosing of God is best seen in a critical hour, when Christ and the world come into competition, and we part with the world to keep Christ and a good conscience. That is a sign that we have chosen the better part." And the psalmist verifies that last statement at the end of the psalm, where he says in verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So there's a conscious choice that plays into that anticipation of heaven. And that conscious choice leads to a reveling in the satisfaction that you find in the presence of Christ right here and right now. And I trust that there are a number of you who understand what that is. To be able to sit down with God's Word, or to kneel before the Lord and have a time of communion with God, and to revel in that relationship, to revel in the realities, the spiritual realities of grace. That Christ Jesus has saved you. That you are an heir with Christ. That you are a child of God. That you have a guaranteed inheritance in heaven. That Christ even now is with you and will not leave you. That whatever this world throws at you, Christ is there. And His grace is sufficient. That is reveling in the satisfaction of Christ Jesus. And that is what a conscious choice to set Christ before you will lead to. A fullness of joy that you will never get from the burgers and shakes of the world. But there are hindrances to gaining this anticipation of heaven. And Thomas Watson touched on that when he mentioned the choice between Christ and the world. And the hindrance, the main hindrance, to summarize what it is the world, the world system. There are a lot of things around us that would draw us away from reveling in Christ and from serving Christ. Especially in the culture that we live in. I mean, really, we have just about everything the human heart can desire. And there are constant temptations to turn away from Christ, to not fix our attention on Him, and to instead revel in the passing pleasures of the world. I'd like us to look at a couple of passages that specifically address these things, just so we can have our eyes fall across those and see what God thinks and contrast the world to the fulfillment of Christ. 1 John 2, very, again, familiar passage. And this passage hits on the biggest temptation that we have and that keeps us from anticipating heaven, and that is a strong affection for the world. Watson puts it this way: in this passage, God is calling a retreat from the world. And this is what he says: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There's a contrast. You can't have both. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts or the desires thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God forbids us from having a strong affection from the world, and there's a reason for that. In fact, it is directly related to where we started. Remember, Paul's passion is serving Christ. And that's leading to his anticipation of seeing Christ. Well, if you turn to 1 or 2 Timothy 2, you'll find out where a love for the world leads, in contrast to where Paul is. In verse 10, Paul makes a sobering statement regarding a man who used to be an assistant of his. In Colossians 4 and verse 14, Paul actually sends greetings to the Colossians from this man. But now, in verse 10 of 2 Timothy 4, he says this, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica." Then he goes on to name some other people. But what we have here is a scriptural example of what happens when instead of the choice being made to set the Lord before you and to revel in the satisfaction of the joys and pleasures that a relationship with Christ brings as you actively engage in service to Him, instead of that, you choose to go off and do what God says don't do, love the world. This is what happens. Here's a live, a living, at one time, example of a man who did just that. He loved the world, and because of that, he forsook the ministry. He forsook serving Christ. He turned his back on a minister of Christ. That's what it looks like. We don't know what it was that caused him to love the world, what drew him away. All we know is that he had a strong affection for the things of the world, and that hindered him. It kept him from serving Jesus Christ. Now, why is it that we would serve the world? Again, Thomas Watson puts it so eloquently when he states this. In describing the godly man, he looks upon the world as but a beautiful prison, and he cannot be much in love with his fetters, though they are made of gold. And then he goes on and talking about God's providences under the heading of God Himself sounds a retreat to call us from the world. He says this, "Don't hunt after the honors and profits. God's providences, like His precepts, are to beat us off the world. Why does He send war and epidemics? What does the heat of His great anger mean? Surely dying times are to make men die to the world." And we do live in dying times. Really, why would you set your affection on the world the way it is today? No matter what the pleasures are that sparkle before you, just look at the headlines. This morning, just a couple. British politicians run for cover as scandal rages. Researcher claims human error caused swine flu. 95 kids dead in U.S. Taliban battle. That's the world. Why do we long after it? That's at the bottom of it. Satan does make it look good. In fact, again, Watson says, Satan tries to befool men and keep them from heaven by making them seek heaven here. But, ladies and gentlemen, there is no heaven here. So how do you get to the point of saying, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain? Well, first of all, you have to set the Lord before you. Make that choice. And then enjoy and revel in the pleasures that are found in a relationship with Christ. And run away from a strong affection from the world. And then going back and closing to Philippians chapter 1, the statement that Paul makes here falls within a context. And if we read on, we see that this context is about service to Christ. In verse 22, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not, for I'm in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again." Folks, the picture of anticipation that Paul lives out before us is a picture of the man who is serving Christ by throwing himself into serving other people for the sake of Jesus Christ. It is a selfless pouring out of himself for Christ and for the sake of the gospel. And that service to Christ, that pouring out of himself to Christ, leads then to that anticipation of standing before Christ and understanding that death is indeed gain. You see, if we get caught up in the pleasures of this world, even though we might say death is gain to us, really many times in the back of the mind we're thinking, man, that's going to be a loss. But Paul understood, I've served Christ. I know my master. And as serving him here with his without his physical presence brings such joy, then what is it going to be like when I stand face to face with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So today, what are you more excited about? Are you more excited about serving Christ or about eating burgers and shakes? Are you looking forward to heaven or are you looking forward to eating McDonald's? I trust that the prayer of your heart will be with Paul, Lord, help me to be able to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Mr. Nathaniel Pringle, Assistant Dean of Men at BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.